couple weeks ago, I viewed a beautiful meditative film called The Way. It stars Martin Sheen and his son, Emilio Estevez. Estevez also directed the movie and wrote the screenplay. The movie tells the story of an ophthalmologist from California named Tom. It begins with a snapshot of Tom's life. And everything about his life feels strangely solitary. He leads a solo medical practice. His wife died several years earlier, and he does not have much of a relationship with their only child, Daniel. Tom has some golfing buddies, but there doesn't appear to be any closeness or genuine connection in his relationships with them. You get the sense that Tom is probably a pretty good ophthalmologist, that he cares about his patients and no doubt is very conscientious in his work. But there's just no joy or passion in his life. He's going through the motions. He seems like he'll be one of those guys that when he retires in a few years, he'll just not do very well. Take away the regularity of his job and there just won't be anything left. He'll just kind of dry up and blow away. What's more, he doesn't seem to be aware of the disconnected nature of his life. More than anything, he's disconnected from himself, from his soul. Well, Tom gets a call on his cell phone while he's in the middle of a round of golf. The voice on the other end is a French police officer informing Tom that Daniel, his son, has died in a hiking accident. Much to Tom's dismay, Daniel had quit graduate school with no real plan in place as far as Tom could see. He just started wandering. He died in the Pyrenees Mountains on his first day walking the ancient pilgrimage trail called the El Camino de Santiago. This pilgrimage route leads from France across the border into Spain to Santiago de Compostela in Spain's northwest corner. The cathedral there is said to contain the earthly remains of St. James, one of Jesus' disciples. For more than 1,000 years, millions of pilgrims have traversed that path. After hearing the news of Daniel's death, a stunned Tom drives off in the golf cart without telling his golfing partners what happened. The film then cuts to Tom meeting with a French police officer and going into the morgue to identify Daniel's body. At that moment, it seems clear that Tom's going to collect Daniel's body, go home, return to his ordinary thoughtless life, now with perhaps that final nail in the coffin of his disconnection pounded in. But a funny thing happens. Yearning to retain some connection, any connection with Daniel, Tom impulsively decides in the middle of the night that he's going to have Daniel's body cremated, and he is going to walk El Camino, scattering Daniel's ashes as he makes the journey. And so, with his son's meager gear in hand, he heads out on a journey of 4 to 6 weeks, a journey for which he is completely unprepared. He departs his ordinary life, his comfort zone, for a world that is different in almost every way imaginable. And the way ahead for him is hard, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Can you imagine how hard it would be to take your son's ashes and scatter them here and there, day after day, your heart breaking each time? As often happens on El Camino and other pilgrimages, Tom ends up seeing some of the same faces day after day, people that are walking at about the same pace. And in spite of his utter lack of interest in connecting with anyone on the trail and his subsequent rudeness, he ends up hiking with 3 others. An overbearing Dutchman desperate to shed some weight, a bitter, angry Canadian woman who vows at the end of her journey to give up smoking, and an Irish author mired in a horrible writer's block. Each of them, Tom included, is yearning for something, Yearning, you see, is the wellspring of pilgrimage. And as often true with pilgrimage, they will each discover something, but not necessarily the thing they were searching for. Pilgrims have a destination, but really it's not the destination that matters compared to the journey. In fact, Tom and his three followers will have powerful experiences when they get to that cathedral where St. James' remains are, the end of the journey. But they realize really it's not the end of the journey, and they keep walking all the way to the Atlantic Ocean, where Tom scatters the last of Daniel's remains. So what Tom ultimately discovers in the pilgrimage is connection. In fulfilling his son's desire to complete the pilgrimage, he connects with his son. He experiences, in spite of his son's being dead, a reconciliation of sorts with his son. You know, talk about miraculous. And then in another El Camino miracle, Tom allows his fellow travelers into his life, into his heart. And most of all, he gets in touch with who he really is and what he really wants to do with the rest of his life. He becomes more truly himself. There's a flashback in the movie of a testy exchange between Daniel and his dad. And Daniel told his dad in that exchange that there is a difference between the life you live and the life you choose. And so Daniel chose the life of a wanderer. Now Tom finally figures out that the life he's living is not the life he's chosen. It's not the life he would have chosen. He decides that it's time to choose his own life, to live his own life, to write a different ending to his story. So El Camino transforms him. Tom's experience is not unusual for pilgrims. So what is it about pilgrimage that facilitates, that invites transformation? I think there's three things. The first is the rare opportunity, rare for most of us anyway, of connecting deeply with other human beings who you've never met before. The anthropologist Victor Turner wrote about experiencing what he called communitas on the pilgrimage trail. Communitas is a Latin word meaning intense feeling of belonging, togetherness, and radical equality. So this is the feeling that Tom develops in spite of himself, the feeling that he develops with these three broken, beautiful traveling companions. At first, he despises them, and he certainly looks down on them, but slowly the walls around his heart melt, and he brings them in. The second way pilgrimage facilitates transformation is that it gets you out of your everyday life, your everyday mindset. You literally leave home. You leave your familiar routine. You immerse yourself in a whole context that's completely unfamiliar. The change of scenery cannot help but alter or at least jar your perspective. And then third, pilgrimage facilitates transformation in that it forces you to live in the present moment. And it forces you to do that through its exoticness and its difficulty. For Tom, El Camino became a kind of meditation. He pays attention to each step, each meal, each new vista, each night spent packed in a crowded, smelly, dingy hostel. Each place he stops and takes out Daniel's box of ashes and scatters some. Life is slowed down, stripped down to its essentials. Everything besides what's immediately at hand just fades away. And so Tom finds himself, for once, living in the moment, living in the now, with awareness. In short, he wakes up. And here's the paradox. In coming to conscious awareness of the now, Tom not only is able to connect with that current moment, but also with his ordinary life back home in California. He finds fresh eyes with which to look at his life, and he does not like what he sees. This is how he comes to decide to choose a different life for himself. And for Tom, that transformation could not have happened at home, trudging through his ophthalmology practice and these meaningless rounds of golf. He could not see the reality of his life there. He didn't even know that he yearned for something different. He was an eye doctor who couldn't see. So he had to step out of his ordinary life, live thoroughly and completely and mindfully in the here and now, and then voila, he could see. And then he could move into a future of his own choosing. So, do you want to get in touch with your yearnings for the future? If you want to do that, dive into the now. This is the paradoxical lesson of pilgrimage. Like Tom, you may need to venture far, far out of your comfort zone to access these deepest yearnings. You may need to travel very far to find what is near. So how do you balance living in the moment with yearning for the future? By diving into the moment. Balance. Weird, isn't it? But it's true. And of course, we can't always take off 4 or 6 weeks to travel across the world and then take a long pilgrimage trail. So given this reality, it's a very good idea to try to find other, more accessible, cheaper ways to open ourselves to the transformation of living in the now. In her book, The Road That Teaches, which Margaret read from, Valerie Brown writes, "A pilgrimage experience is available in our own backyard, a pocket park in town, a nearby garden. Any journey can lead to awareness and awakening." I would add a pilgrimage experience is also available sitting on your meditation cushion or sitting at your desk writing in a journal or, drumroll please, coming to a service at the fellowship. Pilgrimage sites are places where the line between the sacred and the ordinary is thin. That's another passage Margaret read. The truth that pilgrimage sites unveil is that actually this line between the ordinary and the sacred, actually that line everywhere is thin to non-existent if we have the eyes to see. That's the trick, seeing that reality wherever we are. Thoreau writes in his book Walden, "People seek truth remote, in the outskirts of the system, behind the farthest star, before Adam and after the last man. But all these times and places and occasions are now and here. God Himself culminates in the present moment." This Wednesday, I fly out of Chicago to the Philippines. I will visit maybe 5 Unitarian Universalist congregations while I'm there, including our partner congregation in Binay-Binay. I will do a campus ministry program in Manila. I will do the sermon and an ordination for a new minister in the Philippines. So these past weeks, as I've been getting vaccinations and planning for different, if not always present, electricity and different currency and packing clothing for weather in the high 90s and thinking about the prospect of dealing with not one, and I realize not two, but 3 languages I don't know, all that has signaled to me that I'm going to be traveling far outside of my comfort zone. And there, so far away, I will meet and be with Unitarian Universalists who look and speak and live very differently from me. But I expect I will experience the truth firsthand that in spite of these abundant differences, we are sisters and brothers in the same faith. In this sacred pilgrimage, I have no doubt that I will learn a lot about a very different culture. But if I figure out a way to dive into that experience and live in it and be in the moment, I will also learn something about myself and my life here in the Fox Valley. Who knows? I may even come back a transformed person. Or not. We'll see. Here's what I know for sure, though. I know that the path keeps going. My way on it may be altered by my experiences in the Philippines, perhaps significantly, but the path continues. And I will keep on searching, I hope, until my very last breath.